Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Postscript. I'm here with Jay, and we just had our second outdoor worship of 2021, hopefully our last as well. Quick disclaimer, we weren't able to record the Zoom worship due to some just recording issues on the cloud. But yeah, we hope to use this as a platform just to talk about the sermon. Maybe if you didn't even listen, just to kind of highlight the main points. But yeah, I guess one thing I wanted to ask you, Jay, it was a wild story. You mentioned Game of Thrones, and I think it's really true. But one thing that was really caught my attention is in the beginning of your intro, you talked about how freedom for a lot of us is the ability to do whatever we want. But especially in Judges, with the whole scripture, it's a different picture of what freedom is. I've made that point before too, but I think people, even when we say it, it's really hard for them to understand that, because it sounds like this weird, I don't know, like fortune cookie type of wisdom. But I guess for you, like, how would you be able to flush that more out on a ground level for our church members?
Yeah, I guess this idea was really flushed out for me when I read The Reason for God by Tim Keller. And he gives kind of these good examples of if you had like a particular animal, like a horse, but the horse wanted to live in water, then it truly isn't free to be a horse. Mm. You know, because that horse is not living in the nature in which it was created for. Mm. And so Tim Keller's point is, as human beings that were created in the image of God, to worship God and to live according to God's laws. I mean, that was the original intention of why we were created. Mm-hmm. But now, because of sin, we are no longer living in that nature. We are, trying to live in in another nature. And so it's like that horse that's created to run around on land, but is trying to live in the water. We are created for one thing, but are trying to live another way. And so to be truly free is not just to have the authority to be, you know, to choose to do whatever you want, but to truly be free is to live according to the nature in which you've been created by God.
Yeah, I like that a lot. There's a, you know, even to supplement that, there's either a book or a TED talk called The Paradox of Choice, which kind of supplements the other side of that too. That I think, you know, even when you look at your Netflix viewing, like, the abundance of options, which you think will give you freedom, is actually more restrictive because you have no idea what to pick. And there's so many to pick. And usually because there's so many to pick, you pick a really bad one, movie or TV show. So that always struck with to me. And I think that was a good point you made to intro into the story of Judges 3, which is a wild one of Eglon and Ehud. And I guess, you know, the first point you talked about how even Eglon is almost a show of God's love to Israel, right? That the story of Judges is that in his discipline, that God still loves his people. And I guess for us, like, how would you, you know, see that practically happening on a maybe modern day level? Because, you know, we're not Israel, so we don't see these things happening as vividly in the Old Testament. But what are other ways that maybe we find annoying in our lives, but you or the Bible might tell us that's actually God's discipline, trying to show God's love to us?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a little difficult only because it's not kind of like a ABCD list. I think it's principles that we can see, and it's different for every person's life. But number one, it's only applicable to Christians, you know, so because God disciplines those whom he loves in a covenantal relational way, you know, in the same way where the Moabites and the Philistines, God didn't really discipline them the way that he disciplines Israel. So if you're a Christian, I think number one, there is a feeling of distance in a relationship. I think that's something that every believer will feel when they feel that they are not living in accordance to God's will and living in sin, unrepentant sin. So there is that feeling of distance. And I think there's also a lack of blessing, perhaps not because your circumstances are changing, but because as you become more distant from God, your worldview and the way you see what a blessing and a curse is changes and conforms more to the ways of the world. Mm. And so I think when you have that feeling of like, hey, my life's not going the way that I want it to, it could be because your life is really not going the way you want it to, or because you are so far away from God that you know, your kind of moral compass is off. So you feel that your life is not going the way it's supposed to. Whereas someone who is in relationship and maybe not needing a discipline, their will is, you know, combined to the Lord's will. So there's a lot more contentment and thanksgiving and gratitude involved. So I think one way discipline comes in a long-winded way of answering is when, yeah, you feel there's a lack of relationship and blessing in your life. I think that should be a wake-up call for you.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important message to hear, especially here in the Bay Area, because we never equate that to what you talked about. So I think that's really helpful. But you know, your second point kind of dives into more of the meat of the story of how it is a little kind of, you know, maybe even more wild than Game of Thrones, when you really see what Ehud does and how he kills Eglon. And I liked how you tied into that point that, look, God uses these like very messed up, even sinister, you know, as you kind of alluded to, people for his purposes, right? And you know, I guess there's a fine line which we can talk about, but you really talked about how in today's culture, there's this level of perfection that's demanded by anyone and everyone through any platform you have, right? And the common phrase is you'll get canceled if you're not. And I think that seeps into a lot of all, you know, our members' minds too. And I guess, yeah, maybe we can speak a little bit more into that of like, well, how do we fight against that as Christians in today's culture?
Yeah, you know, I think this is something that I'm still trying to marinate over, you know, just because of the fact that in the last, you know, 5 years, especially the last year, the way that social media has shaped us, not only as a culture, but as individuals, has is really kind of warped our morality and stuff. And I think as I'm kind of chewing on that, just thinking about like, how can we as Christians respond to that in a positive way, in a gospel-centered way? Yeah. And I think it's, one has to deal with being able to speak truth and love. Because, you know, this in this cancel culture, we're so afraid to actually stand up for what we believe in, especially if it goes against kind of the main cultural movement of the day. You know, so I mean there are, you know, things that, you know, for example, that we can, you know, be for law enforcement and yet be against racism, you know, but in this culture it's kind of almost pitted the two against each other,
like everything is binary, right?
Yeah, right. And I think like the way that we can respond to that is to really speak truth and love, and to be able to allow others to speak the truth and love to us, so that there's true accountability and community, as opposed to, you know, just kind of, yeah, you know, tribalism.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think to even add maybe even more that the cancel culture that we see today, I think it has good intentions because it ultimately seeks justice, right? And that's something. Oftentimes, you know, there are people where like, yeah, you should have gotten canceled because you said something crazy, right? But I think the desire is good, but the kind of consequence or the solution is broken, because what we're doing is we're demanding perfection from people when that's just not possible, you know? And I really think that this cancel culture kind of shows us we all want perfection from our heroes, right? From those that we look up to, from anyone with a platform. And there's a sense of justice that we carry, but I think it should even drive us a little bit deeper into Christ, because the desire is there for anyone these days for justice to be served. But I think one thing that our society has a problem with is realizing we as humans cannot bring it, because those whoever are in power will always be imperfect, you know? Yeah. And I think that's something that we need to mull on more as Christians, and even speak truthfully and boldly into, as you kind of alluded to.
Yeah. You know, and just as you're mentioning that, so true. Like, you know, we have these idols in our lives, like in people, you know, like, and for a period we think that they're perfect, and that's why they become idols in our culture. You know, like right now, the main prophetic idols of our culture, especially for young men, is Joe Rogan and Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
you know, but if you look at, I'm not sure about Joe Rogan, but if you look back into the past of Mike Tyson,
yeah,
he would be completely canceled.
For sure.
In this day, you know, he just happens to have the privilege of having it happen 20 years to in earlier. And so, like, when we elevate these idols and these people, you know, they end up being imperfect, you know, and even just for us in our own lives, you know.
Yeah. And you know, again, I think that especially for men too, that it's a desire that we need to look for a better figure, but not to look for it in broken people that can or will get canceled, but to drive us closer to Christ, which you already mentioned. So I think that's a good point. The last kind of thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, at the end you tied into this idea that ultimately our freedom, our liberation, and Israel's liberation came through sacrifice, whether it be with, you know, a corrupt king in that case, or a righteous savior, which it ultimately points to on the cross, which you kind of wrap things up in the sermon with. But I guess for you, like, you know, as a lead pastor and just some kind of living life as many of our members, like, how have you seen that practically true in your life, that sacrifice can bring liberation? Because I do think, again, that's a very heady idea that we always preach, me and you, you know, or any preacher that we kind of respect, that they end with that. But I guess maybe to help our members, like, what's a good, maybe, I don't know, real life example that you can think of or that you have in your mind?
Yeah, you know, and this is not like a one-to-one correlation.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but it's because when we're talking about the sacrifice of Jesus, we're talking about, you know, kind of this perfect sinless deity sacrificing his own son because of our mistake. Yep. You know, so us making any sacrifice to find freedom isn't like a one-to-one correlation. But if I had to make something, you know, like, you know, obviously if you kind of forget your phone at home and then you're out for a day, you know, like, you realize, oh, I felt so free.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And especially for people in our day and age, you know, and in our congregation, like, not checking your emails for like a weekend and feeling kind of more liberated from that sense, you know. So there are things that we can sacrifice that gives us more freedom.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that concept is something that we all understand. I think the harder concept that people might have a difficult time digesting is this idea of, well, why would God sacrifice his own son for me?
Sure.
You know, like, you know, maybe efficiently thinking like, well, if he's the all-powerful God, why doesn't he just cancel everything out and then save his son from this? Yeah. You know, yeah. Or just kind of like, wait, that makes no sense. What does he get out of it? Sure. You know, and it doesn't, and that doesn't really make sense in our minds, you know. So for me, it's helpful for me to kind of take moments in the day, in the morning or in the evening, just contemplating on why would God do that, and how gracious is he to be able to actually do that for someone like me, you know. And so I think that's kind of the way that I can kind of make it tangible for me.
Yeah. I think that's really helpful to take time to reflect. I think I might have used this too much in preaching, but I know one practical example that we both can speak of is parenting. At least taught me you know, a very imperfect and small peek into that type of sacrifice, right? Because, like, you know, as a parent of two young kids, even today, like coming home from outdoor service to, like, my wife watching them all day, and then, like, it was just a bomb that exploded. I'm just like, why do we do this? You know, I tell myself that, or catch myself saying that. But it's just like, man, for me to show these kids love, they won't even know it's love, maybe until, like, they get therapy later on and realize it. But it's a sacrifice that I have to make, right? And it, why do I do that? Like, you know, there is a biological reason. There's a legal reason. I don't want to go to jail. But ultimately, I think it's rooted in this idea of love, that love... I think for me, at least, kids have taught me the most cheesy line, like, love is ultimately sacrifice. And we think we get that until you're in a point where you have to do it. And I think, at least for me, fatherhood, in my broken ways, have hopefully in my mind and in my soul kind of put me in a place where I can understand deeper what you're talking about. That, man, the sacrifices that Christ did on the cross, we can never understand. And he still did it. Knowing that, and I think that's something that I'm always kind of reminded by and blown away by, and parenthood just amplifies that, like, times 10 every day for me. So I'm thankful for that too.
Yeah, that's so true.
But yeah, well, we hope you're being blessed through the sermon series in Judges. It will get wilder and wilder as we go through. The stories get more fun per se, but also more interesting and intriguing. So we hope you're continuing being blessed. Just, you know, quick reminders, we do hope to have an indoor service at Gunn High School on June 20th, which is Father's Day as well. So if you just mark that in your calendars, we'll give you more information as that comes. But other than that, we hope you're blessed through this, you know, small postscript that we do. And thanks for listening.